good news about household incomes from the Economic and Social Research Institute this morning. Real wages grew in April for the first time in 2 years, and it's a trend that's set to continue for this year and next. ESRI Research Professor Kieran McQuinn can tell us more. So the good news, real wages are going up, households are actually better off.
Good morning, Anya. Yeah, obviously, it's coming after a period where households have been suffering losses in their real incomes for the last 2 years. So obviously, between the after effects of COVID and the war in the Ukraine and the energy issues associated with that, we've seen a real spike in inflation over the last number of years. And that's really eaten into people's income and their living standards. So what you're seeing this year is the rate of inflation is coming down quite significantly. So we expect it to be down to just over 2% this year, lower again next year. And nominal incomes are growing at a faster pace. So overall, people's real incomes are increasing.
And what's driving that?
I think in general, the economy is continuing to perform strongly. Obviously, after COVID and even after the pandemic in general, the economy performed actually very, very strongly. And that was to do with the fact that, certain sectors of the economy actually benefited from COVID-19, the pharmaceutical sector and the ICT sector. And of course, there are very, very significant players in the Irish economy. So that really drove economic performance over the last number of years. That's slowed down a little last year, particularly on the pharma side, but the underlying pace of growth in the economy is still quite strong, and it's somewhere in the region of around 2.5%, which is quite robust given the very, very strong rates of growth that we've seen over the last.
I know you say inflation's falling, but it's interesting how much you hear people talk about the cost of living being a problem, interest rates going up, for instance, and that affecting people's mortgages and so on.
Exactly. Well, when people say inflation is coming down, of course, the price levels are still much higher now than what they were 3 or 4 years ago. And I suppose that's ultimately what people see in the shops when they're going in buying their groceries, etc. Even though the pace of growth is coming down, the fact is price levels are still much higher. And as you say, monetary authorities are trying to combat inflation by hiking interest rates. So you're now at a situation where interest rates are still quite high and inflation is still, it's coming down, but it's still quite high relative to where it is. So it's that kind of period you're in. Obviously, over the next year or so, inflation will continue to ease and monetary authorities will probably start reducing. They have already in the euro area reduced official rates, but they'll continue to do so probably over the next 12 to 18 months.
So full employment and inflation falling. But where are we hear a lot about capacity constraints, that we don't have the capacity, for instance, to address the housing situation with the speed we need to at the moment because there simply aren't enough builders, etc., etc.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the labour market is in quite a unique situation. I mean, we've over 2.7 million people working in the economy, which is a historically high level. And the the rate of unemployment is still very, very low at 4%, which is effectively the natural rate, if you like, in the Irish case. So it does mean that, clearly going forward, there are significant challenges. And we talk about infrastructural deficits and housing, of course, is the classic example. So in order to meet those, you clearly need workers going forward. You need more employment. You need more labour. One of the things we've highlighted in the commentary this time around, which I think is important, is the huge and positive role that, for instance, net migration has made as far as the labour market is concerned. And we see that in certain significant sectors of the economy, particularly in the healthcare sector, for example. The numbers of people that are employed there from outside of the EU, for example, is very, very significant. So that's an avenue going forward, which I think needs to be, we need to continue to use, if you like, in terms of increasing the overall level of activity in the economy. We need more labour, we need more employment.
And one of the issues around, one of the arguments that comes up when people discuss migration is exactly about economic capacity, that the country is full, that more people coming in, that there isn't enough room, there aren't enough doctors, there aren't enough school places, etc., etc. Economically, what's the impact of that? How does that argument stand up?
Well, I mean, the fact is the economy is growing very strongly. But I mean, if you look at the population of the country in terms of, compared to other similar sized countries, it's clear that, we're not anywhere near full, if you like, in terms of where we're at on that front. I think clearly what's happened is, and to take a slightly longer term perspective on this, the economy has grown very, very significantly over the last 10 years. But we still have issues, hangovers, basically going all the way back to the financial crisis. Housing is a classic example. But generally speaking, in terms of investment in the economy, the investment rate in the economy is actually quite low compared to where it would have been 10, 12, 13 years ago. And we're still playing catch up on a number of fronts after the effects of the crisis. So whilst the economy is doing very well, clearly the infrastructural deficits are there and they need to be addressed going forward.
And there have been revisions to the National Capital Plan, haven't there? But this is going to be one of the big, and there's a lot of talk, obviously. You know, whatever happens one way or another in the next 12 months, there'll be an election. Before that, of course, there'll be a budget. And the question is the balance of spending with that budget in an economy like this. From an academic point of view, what are the trends you would like to see in that budget from the ESRS point of view?
I think clearly, you know, as we said, the infrastructural deficits are there and those need to be addressed. And I mean, talked about housing, but I mean, there's huge challenges, for instance, in climate change, that there needs to be significant investment there if we're to meet the kind of targets we have. Retrofitting, for example, we have 500,000 houses to retrofit over the next 7 or 8 years. So there's significant challenges there in healthcare, etc. So I think that's where, you know, the priority as far as budgetary policy has to be, or fiscal policy, broadly speaking. That's where the priorities need to be in terms of investment, in terms of expenditure in that area. Clearly, though, given when you have unemployment at 4%, it means that you have to be aware of the fact that you could overheat the economy. And that's where I think the government has to be disciplined in other areas of fiscal policy, i.e. in taxation. I think that, you know, if you start cutting taxes at the same, very aggressively at the same time as ratcheting up expenditure in the context of a low unemployment rate, the danger is you could overheat. So I think that's where the priorities need to lie. To be fair, the investment funds that have been set up, I think, do provide an indication that that is where, you know, significant funds are going to go.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for coming in to us. Kieran McQuinn, Research Professor with the ESRI. The time, 13 minutes to 8.